a parable about stewardship.
Oh, Decker, can you pop that down a little bit? There's a little bit of feedback. Thank you. All right. I started talking about a parable about 10 virgins and their lamps. And this was a collection of parables where Christ had started to discuss with his disciples what was going to happen next, what was to come, how they needed to be ready, and how they needed to prepare the growing church and the world to be ready. And this morning, we read through portions of those parables that he went over. We talked about two parables in particular this morning. They're both in Luke, the parable of expectant stewardship and the parable of the faithful steward. You know, Matthew has a part of this account too. But Christ, when he was talking through them about being expected and faithful stewards, he wanted us to be prepared. Now, when we look at Luke 12:35, it starts off with, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning." You see, in those days, they would wear robes and flowing garments. You know, robes are okay to walk around the house in. They're pretty comfortable to walk around the house in. Not a bad thing at all. I think many mornings I'm probably in a robe till about 11 o'clock. That's one of the advantages of working from home. But there's a problem with a robe if you've got to do some hard work or if you've got to do some getting up and getting down. It gets in the way. And when it's time to do work, what they would do is they would gird themselves. They'd put something across their bellies or so to tie back their robes in such a way that the robes wouldn't get in their way and they could do their work. So when Christ opens up this parable with "let your waist be girded and your lamps burning," he's got two points he wants to make. First, get ready to do some work. And second, we know what the lamps stand for, right? We looked at that last week. Who remembers what the lamps stand for? What was the lamps? Day. Not Jesus' return. All of the virgins had lamps, right? What were the lamps, though? We looked at a verse in Psalms. Not the lights of their faith. It's the what? Okay, so thy word is a lamp unto my feet. So the lamp is what? Thy word, right. God's word. Here you go, Decker. Pick one. There you go. So we're to be ready to do some work, and we're supposed to have our lamps or God's word ready as well. That's the watchful steward. Matthew 16:27. Let's keep your place in Luke. We will come back here, but let's go to Matthew for a second. Now, we're to be waiting for something. To be girded and to have our lamps ready. What are we waiting for? What are we to be watchful for? Matthew 16:27. What are we waiting on? Waiting on, Nancy, I think I heard you the loudest here. Waiting on Christ to come back, right? Pick what you thought there. And when he comes back, what's he going to do with all of us that he finds? The rest of this verse. Reward us, right. It's like Jolly Ranch for a reason. Reasons are good. He's going to reward us for what, though? What's it say? For our works. I'm sorry, where did I hear that? Oh, you again. Okay. For our works. Right. Because what Christ has done for us, she's loading up on the reasons. What Christ has done for us is paid for our sins. That's to keep us out of punishment, right?
Christ isn't going to reward us for something he did on that account. He's going to reward us for what we did afterwards. So let's take a look at 1 Peter now, chapter 4. Don't worry if you're slow flipping pages, so am I. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do this with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Let's go back a little bit in Peter. 1 Peter 4, verse 2 now. That he no longer should live with the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we've spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. You see, up until the point where we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're spending time. We're spending time on the things of the flesh. And once Jesus Christ has come into our heart, once we've accepted Him as Lord and Savior, it's no longer our time. That time's been spent. At that point, we're to do the will of God because we've been purchased, been bought. Now, we might have a grumbling about this, but the Bible says not to be grumbling about it. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. But I don't know what I have to do. I don't know what it is that I need before me. Lord, what is that work that I'm to be girded to do? Well, to each one of you, He's given gifts. You know, there's parts of this that I really struggle with. You know, I look across where I was and what I was doing before I came here to this church. And I struggled even with coming here. I didn't want to be a pastor. Rather been an evangelist. You know, we look at where we're at right now. 2010 census results here in Viola. The population was 130. That is the lowest population since 1880 in this town. If you go back to the census in 2000, from 2000 to 2010, the population of this little town dropped 38%. 38%. If you go back beyond that, you're going to see a declining trend. The largest this town has been about 600 and so, and some change. And it's gone down since the 40s. It started a downward spiral. Little blips up and down here. There's 51 households, I should say. 37 families. Here in this town, 37% of the households here have children under 18. 20% are households of single people. 8% are people that live alone and are over 65. 38 is the average age across the whole town. 66% are married couples. 6%
all single parents. You know, if you were a business person and you'd look at that and you look at the lack of growth here in this town, actually the opposite of growth here in this town. The decline, yeah. It wouldn't make sense to build a building over there. Because at this rate of decline, if it's consistent, and with that type of demographic, there'll be half as many people in 10 years. And now you're talking 50 to 60 people in Bible. Why would you want to be a pastor or something like that? It's where God put you, right? Yeah. You know, Gideon was sitting there inside that wine press. He was content where he was. He was trying to smash out that wheat in hiding when God found him. My almighty man of God. Yes, Decker. Yep, the smallest of sparks can create the largest of fires. That's true. And that's what kind of happened with Gideon. Gideon got used out of that wine press. He got asked to come out of it and do something different. He lit his father's idol on fire that first night. Those of you that remember the story, that's what he did. His idol to Baal and some of the other gods. And he started a change in the Israelites who were slaves at that point. Caused a revolution. You know, Noah and Moses and many of these other people, they were underdogs. I'm sure if the business analysts look at what was before them, it would have said, this don't make no sense, what you're about to do. God, I don't know how to grow a church in a dying population. That ain't how God works, though. God wasn't asking me if I was ready. He was ready. You know, to each one, He's given gifts. As we look and we get ready for this, I have to be reminded, what's my job in all of it? Ephesians 4. Verse 11. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the work of letting the saints sit in their pews. Is that what it says? Anybody, you got that open? Can you read that? What's it say?
For the equipping of the saints for the work of the service, building up the body of Christ.
Amen to that. Whether you like it or not, my job is to get you out of those pews. To do His ministry. To each one of you, you've been given gifts to do this ministry. Some of you have been given good financial sense to be able to help us through the times that we need it. Some's got good common sense to keep us from doing some stupid things. And many of us will. Some of you have gentle hearts when we need to have patience with someone that we don't really have a lot of patience for. You know, all these things are gifts of God. And we spend enough of our past lifetime on ourselves. So we looked at a couple parables this morning. You know, I'm not interested. God isn't asking me to try and bring people into seats. That's not what I'm here to do. If we stay the same numbers, if our numbers go down in here, I don't care. I'm not supposed to care. You know, caring about that stuff got some kings in trouble. David, if you can remember, when he started to count how many men he had, that's when problems really started to happen for him. So I'm not asking you to go out and get people and bring them in here. That's not what I'm doing at all. God's given you some gifts to perform His ministry. We need to use them. Now these two parables, there is a parable of the expectant steward and the parable of the faithful steward. In the expectant steward, we're to be ready. We don't know when Christ has come back. We're supposed to gird ourselves, be ready to do the work, be geared for it, and keep that word handy for when He comes back. The second parable, though, of the faithful steward's got a lot of bite in it. Starts with verse 41, Luke 12:41. Then Peter said to him, "Lord, do you speak the parable only to us or to all the people?" Lord, are you talking to just us disciples that have to go out and preach the word, or are you talking to everybody? Jesus don't make it an easy yes or no. He makes us think. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season?" You know, he starts off saying, who is this steward that God gives authority over his household on, gives control over his household over temporarily? While he's gone, who is this steward and what's he supposed to do with it? To feed the people. You know, you look over there at that building. It's got one of the largest community halls in town. You can see an awful lot of people in there and feed them. It's got a pretty big kitchen coming in. And cook an awful lot of food for an awful lot of people. When he talks to the faithful steward, he says, make him ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. You know, God had given us a little before. We were borrowing a community hall across the street to have a soup supper in once a year. If we are doing the same thing a year from now, after He's given us a gift like this, we have wasted some talents. You know, God gave talents to many different men. Some one, some more. And the one that took it and buried it, what happened to him? Do you remember? He was chastised for it, right? Because he came back with just the same that the master had given him to begin with. Right? I've given you that already. A year from now, if we are only feeding people one time a year, we're doing the same thing as burying that bag of gold. Amen to that? If we're not using that community center and that kitchen to feed people, we're doing no better than we are now today. And we're not using that gift. Blessed is the servant who his master will find so doing when he comes. Maybe you're thinking, well, first let's get set up over there. Let's take some time and get ready. That might be what you got. But it says, but if that servant says in his heart, verse 45, my master is delaying his coming. Oh, we ought to watch out for that.
See, because in 46 it says the master of the servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and then at an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with unbelievers. Then it goes into even more detail. But that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed these things, deserving a stripe, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask more. You know, Spider-Man, Spider-Man's uncle would have said, what? What would Spider-Man's uncle Ben have said? Come on, Logan, you know it. Oh, you got it over there on the other side. Stole it from you, Logan. There's candy to be had. What would you like? All right. With great power comes great responsibility. You know, we look at what we got here, and we got some humble beginnings, but we've done good with that responsibility so far. When you look over at that building, look at it as new responsibility. Be thankful for what we're getting, but understand we got to gird ourselves, put something on. Because it ain't enough to do what we're doing here. We've been given more, so we're expected more. This is a time for us to reach out to the community. Now, each one of us has been given a gift of ministry to help in this. You know, I thought it was odd. Before this, I'd been working on inner city and trailer parks, evangelizing to the people that had no real idea, but also didn't have no money. You know, the type of people that coming down off of meth on Sunday morning from the parties that they'd had Saturday night. Starting to realize that $20, that $40 that they'd spent the night prior was really what they needed for food for the next week. You know, those are some hard realizations. You wake up, coming down off of your fix on Sunday morning, you go to the cabinet to feed your kids, and there ain't nothing there. And you start to regret where you were. Now, we'd spent 2-3 months now studying the difference between being under the law and giving people the law and freedom. You see, that type of person, when they come to a church on Sunday morning, they know what they've already done wrong. They don't need our help pointing that out. They need hope. They need hope in Christ. You know, we had some techniques we did then. We didn't really understand how much God's wisdom was working in us, but we had a little refrigerator over in the corner there in that community building in that trailer house, in that trailer park. And we would come and bring food to put in that freezer. We'd serve a breakfast to people too, so they'd get a chance to eat there on Sunday morning, come down off of meth, eating breakfast and hearing the word. And we'd send them home with a bag of groceries. You know, didn't have a lot. We just had a little cooler the size of that sound machine over there. There was a responsibility that came with that cooler. The responsibility of opening up the doors in a trailer park with low-income people. And we have a responsibility opening up the doors of that building over here in a town of 130. The Lord can talk much better to each and every one of you than I can. Maybe he's laid a particular ministry on your heart. Maybe he's laid a particular person or a family on your heart. Again, I'm not interested in them coming to fill pews. I'm interested in teaching you how to do the work of the ministry. Because true and undefiled religion is what? I'll say it again there, Bertha Louder. Take care of the widows and the orphans. How's that end? Anyone know how that verse ends? True and undefiled religion is to visit the widows and the orphans in their affliction. Not in the pews. In their affliction. Next week we're going to be celebrating a closing ceremony in here. A lot of good memories in this place. We've done a lot of things for this community here. And for ourselves. We may not feel like we're ready. We may be scared about what's to come. But God's always been ready. Yep, we can just keep moving forward. So this week I encourage you, take that time that you've got with the Lord where you're praying. You know, our time of fleshly desires, that's already been spent. Take that time when you're praying to ask Him, Lord, You've blessed all of us with an opportunity to make a difference in this community. Bigger than we've ever had. We're taking on more responsibility than we've ever had. What's that part I'm supposed to do? Because there ain't a one of you that God's given the ministry of setting in just a pew. Myself included. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for how it stirs us to action, Lord. And Father, as we start to go into our week and allow other priorities to cloud us, remind us of Your verses, Lord. Remind us You're coming back. And You expect us to be using what You've given us. In Jesus' precious name.